Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Put a spring in your step and fresh looks in your home, in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Text number. It was about 2.5 years ago when we were sent in a copy of a magazine called the Public Sector Times. Now, it's not produced by the public sector, but they say they send it to all government departments and civil servants or whatever. But anyway, in this edition of the Public Sector Times, it was called the Awards Edition, and I read out that one of the awards for excellence in customer care, the winner was Air. Now, I've said that deliberately because I know from our file in here that one of the biggest files is about Air. And now this revelation, the startling revelation today, that a training manual given to Air employees warned them that they would face disciplinary proceedings if they obeyed Irish laws covering customer complaints. You couldn't make this up. The same manual also outlined a series of trigger words that would allow the people calling the company with complaints to have their concerns dealt with in an expeditious fashion. If those words were not used, okay, the complaint was basically ignored. They say we'll get back to you, and they never did. And apparently the words were would be uttered by people who seem to know their rights, i.e. I'm going to Comreg, which not a lot of people would know about. These are the ones that were mentioned in court. I'm going to go to Comreg, or can you give me a complaint number? And then the staff were told there was a dedicated complaints email and complaints phone number. Okay? But if the staff were told, under no circumstances, this is the manual, the hidden manual, under no circumstances are the complaints number or complaints webpage address to be provided to any customer. And the manual goes on. Remember, this is the air staff who are being phoned with complaints. This is how you deal with the complaints. The manual goes on to say any agent, i.e. anyone who answers the phone, found to be doing this, i.e. giving out the number of the complaints department or the complaints webpage, any agent found to be doing this will be subject to a disciplinary under call avoidance. Wow. The trigger words apparently you were told to watch out for were Comreg, that's three examples. And if you use the phrase, get me your manager, I want a supervisor, I'm not happy, I want to escalate, I want to complain, or I want the manager called back. These complaints, if you use those trigger words, they were just basically thrown in the bin. They were not dealt with for a serious duration of time. By the way, Air were up in the district court. They pleaded guilty to 10 of these charges. They were fined $7,500. They said they wanted to make a charitable donation of 20 grand. Well, and the judge said this wasn't the time or the place, but they could still make the charitable donation. Nothing stopping them. Morris Wynn. Morris, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Are you surprised by this?
Not really, to be honest. What? I didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was just me, but...
What was just you? Tell me what happened.
Oh, in a nutshell, I mean, I could be here till tomorrow.
Yeah, okay,
Joe, but in a nutshell, goes back to the 29th of May last year, so almost a year later, and I still have the complaint. They drilled a hole through the wall to my living room wall in the wrong place.
Yeah,
I wanted it fixed, and I got onto them straight away. And honestly, I've been passed from Billy to Jack and back again. 18 people so far to date I've had dialogue with, be it by a phone call, their text messenger, or email.
Okay. And nothing has happened?
Well, each and every time they promise you, yeah, I'll escalate that, I'm going to get it resolved. But it's never been resolved.
But did you use, insofar, many times did you ring them, Morris, and email them?
I would say up to 100, upwards to 100 times I've had either email, text, or phone calls.
Do you think in any of the phone calls, did you use any of the following phrases? Get me your manager. I want a supervisor. I'm not happy. I want to escalate. I want to complain.
All of those.
But you see, that's why you were binned. You used the wrong words.
If I hadn't known the word comrade, I would have used
it. By contrast, those who use phrases, get me your manager, I want a supervisor, not happy, I want to escalate, their complaints were often not dealt with for extended periods of time. But if you had said, now we've asked there for what are the other trigger words? Did you use Liveline by any chance, Morris?
My last email, I said I was going to go on for the Joe Duffy show and would they have somebody to represent there? And they never reply.
Well, they never come on. But anyway, if you had, apparently they haven't revealed all the trigger words. They'd have to now. They're obliged, surely, to reveal them all now. If you had said, I want a case number.
Well, I have 3 case numbers.
Good lad.
Yeah, 3 case numbers.
Well, you may take your case to a higher court because it ain't going anywhere if you said, I'm not happy, I want to escalate, I want to talk to your manager. And then in one section, as I said, boxed off in red and underlined in bold, staff were told that under no circumstances are the complaints number or complaints webpage address to be provided to any customer. And not only that, but if you did give out the number, you fell into a moment of weakness when you're working answering the phones for air. If you fell into a moment of weakness and gave out their legitimate complaints number or the address of their complaints webpage, you would be subject to the disciplinary proceedings.
That does explain a lot, to be honest with you, because I've just been ignored. And so I've actually been, to say lie to is too strong, but I definitely be told untruths, as in somebody will get back to you, we'll get that resolved by the end of the week.
They've
told me that I missed phone calls from them. And because I missed the phone calls, they're considering the case closed. So I didn't miss any phone calls. I even took a screenshot of the phone log and sent it into them. Yeah. Nobody called me.
But to actually have this duplicity written down in a manual for staff, instructing staff.
Disgraceful.
You will face disciplinary hearing if you give out the information about how to contact customer complaints.
Yeah.
And
the staff terrified because they don't give out news.
And this is air they're spending. I think I saw the budget. This new super duper happy clappy lovey dovey. We are a little island in the speck of dust. And then there's a huge
dreadful service.
Cliffs of Moher, and if they spent that money on a decent complaints department. So where are we now? Where are we now?
Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. The last time I've emailed them was Thursday and nobody's got back to me. So,
okay. Well, it's a comedy of errors by air at this stage. By the way, do you think they offered, it was only heard in the district court, so obviously there's a limit on what they can be fined. But the air also offered to give 20, aren't they brilliant? They offered to give 20 grand to a charity. Now, the judge said this wasn't for him to deal with. But they could give 20 grand to charity. What's your favourite charity, Morris?
Sure, they still can.
What's your favourite charity?
Barrettstown.
Wow, great. There's a lot about Barrettstown, the papers of the weekend. Yeah, Barrettstown. Mm. Okay. Are you going to continue?
Oh, I won't let it go. Absolutely not. It's disgraceful.
Oh, you're not going to let it go?
Service myself. No, absolutely not. They did come back and offer me €50 for goodwill. I said, what am I supposed to do with €50? I won't buy a paintbrush, don't mind a tin of paint. The wall needs to be fixed, you know. So, no, I tell you what, if they had fixed it or resolved it a year ago, I wouldn't have bothered much about it. But it's gone on so long, no, I'll bring this right to the end.
Okay. By the way, how do you cover the hole, as the fella said? How do you?
Well,
they put a hole in the wall.
Yeah, so I'm not a builder, but I suppose it has to be replastered and painted.
No, but how do you currently? The hole is still there.
Oh, sorry, it is. The hole's the there's a box there. I've just put like a chest of drawers in front of the television on top of that.
And why
it's just unsightly.
And would you not change provider?
But I will, Joe. But if my fear was if I change provider now, they'll just drop me altogether. So they'll just say, you're no longer a customer. Bye-bye. See you, Charlie. Do you know what I mean? So that's what I was
take
afraid
your
of.
Point. Have you had any similar dealings with any other utility of 100 phone calls?
Oh, God, no. Nothing like this. Okay. No. Nothing like this. I begin to wonder, like, what are they paying their staff, like, just to do this? It's ridiculous.
But did you never think, not of losing the will to live, but did you ever think after the 75th phone call of giving up trying to get through to them? I know you did get through.
No, it only made me go even more with the will to get it fixed, to get it resolved. I just want that done then. I had thought about jumping off a bridge, all right, but...
But Morris, was there a time or a period or a duration that you were phoning them or trying to contact them every single day?
Pretty much, yeah. The trouble is, when you phone them, you're going to be waiting for about 3/4 of an hour. A lot of time out of your day's work, you know what I mean? So, got onto email and then Messenger. I'm not going to go into names, but the Messenger people really treat you like something you'd scrape off your shoe. It's just disgraceful. But I have kept all of those as well. So,
but did you know that the AIR staff, well, I wonder what the union has to say about this because they're heavily unionised. Do you know the AIR staff were threatened if they did give out the correct complaints number, the correct complaints web page? There was no postal address given out, by the way. If you
I wasn't aware of that, but it does.
But
make
they would be penalised.
That's dreadful.
They would be penalised.
Yeah, well, it makes perfect sense. That's why they won't. Why they keep making promises? Yeah, I'll fix that up. And it's really just to get you off the phone and get you away from them. That's all it is.
Okay,
stay
with us, Joe with RT.ie. 51551's a text there. 0818 715 815. Colette Bourne. Colette, good afternoon.
Good morning, or good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Well, you're in Tramore. It's probably still a glorious morning down there. Beautiful
fabulous,
Tramore.
Fabulous.
Tell us, Comedy of Errors. Tell us.
Oh, an hour this morning I gave on the phone. Passed, like the man said, Village Post. I can't do that. I passed you to somebody else.
Okay.
At one stage, the phone went completely silent. I thought I'd been hung up on. Unfortunately, I'm a customer well over a year. And similar problems keep reoccurring, difference in information the whole time. And after an hour on the phone this morning, and compromising is all I can say in the end, I had been contacted by AIR and asked, oh, do you want some SIMs or a phone offer? I said, yes, send them through. They're still sitting in the locker, Joe, but no one told me about the costs that came with them. And I tried to explain this morning. I rang last week. I got one amount on the automated service. And this morning, I'd ensued €60 over the weekend. Wasn't there last week. The kids on the phone, look, they're only answering the phones. And I understand they're doing a job, but AIR as a company are an absolute joke. Their bills are never consistently the same amount. You don't receive your text message to say your bill is available at the same date. Nothing is consistent. And so in the end, after an hour this morning, I said, look, how much is it to cancel the contract? And I was told €200 to €300. At least. For a service that I'm not happy with. And they just literally are making it up as they go. And trying to explain things and go and back dates and automated services. And it's a minefield. It has to be the worst company I've ever dealt with to do with anything regards money or finances or services in general. We were told a while ago, oh, we're going to upgrade your internet. The internet still drops. So I don't know what I'm paying extra for. Overall, just a generally very bad service.
Now, did you...
I don't tell anyone to stay away.
But Colette, did you, when you were talking to her, did you say, I'm not happy? Give me your manager...
No, I didn't. one of the kids, or I call them kids, one young lad said to me, I have to talk to my supervisor. So I'm very mindful, Joe, that these are just kids or young people doing their jobs. So you don't want to be sound. But I did explain that I'm very frustrated and I'm not happy with the service. And that this is not the first time, you know, there is teething things that happen and miscommunications, but it's constant with AIR. Constant. I mean, they can... I was literally told this morning, if you pay the bill a day late, we're going to hit you with €18 charge. You know, and it's just crazy. And it's a matter of fact. And when I explained that these free SIMs that I had been contacted to receive for the phones had not come with, oh, well, it's €10 for each SIM, and then you use it, it's another 10 each month. I hadn't been told any of this. This some kid rung up a proprietary sales team, I presume, and just said, here, we're doing a phone offer. It's €10 a month. Would you be interested? Yeah,
did you ever,
did
you ever mention Comrade, Colette? Apparently that would...
Joe, can you explain to me what Comrade
I know,
is?
Exactly.
You know, but it's good to know that it's not just my imagination, because as you get older, you get mindful. And you see, go, I don't want to be cranky.
I see another call there saying they had my head fried ringing them.
Yeah.
I had my head fried ringing them.
Yeah. And they, you know, I can't do that. Yeah, I put you through to another department, and it's, and then they tell you stuff, and then I've had phone calls where they tell you one thing, and when I pick them up on it and pick the conversation, it backtracks and they change it, and you literally think you're imagining the conversation.
Morris,
yeah, no, I said they just deny it. That conversation never happens.
Yeah,
you know, they say they resolve something and escalate it, but it never happens. Disgraceful. I will be getting back onto them with this magic word, Comrade Joe.
Yeah, yeah. But they're not Irish owned anymore. You know that they changed hands on a number of occasions. I think they're now owned by a French investment fund. And again, you'll go onto the AIR website and you will find it extraordinarily difficult to get a postal address where you could send them a complaint. You with me?
Yeah. I actually sent a complaint to the 12 directors of the company as well. Not one of them. I didn't expect them to answer me, but I thought they'd make something happen. No, nothing.
Yeah, okay. Pity. Well, it's the customers. You're paying through the nose. And as I say, they're new ads, and they've rebranded, haven't they, in the last few weeks? Air for All is the new...
I'm telling you, not Colette, to touch him, Joe. No way.
The Barrister for AIR generously offered to donate $20,000 to charity, and the judge said, what's your favourite charity? Morris is Barrister.
Oh, there's a great
I came across a great charity at the weekend called the CBHISF. Did you ever hear about that, Colette?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. I think that's what we should... It's the Colette Bourne Holiday in Spain Fund.
Well, look, have a sense of humour and keep calm, because that's what I said in the end this morning. I have to get off the phone because, look, I'm frying your head and I'm frying my own head.
Yeah. Okay.
It is stressful.
Where's Parik? Parik Keenahan. 0818 715 815.
How are you there, Joe?
Yeah, was your head fried?
Oh, stop. I was in bad humour for 2 years.
Don't mother of God.
2 years. 2 years going on.
And what happened?
I moved house and I had two mobiles and a broadband in the existing house. And when I moved then, I informed AIR and they were going to come out and install all the new stuff in the new house. So that was done. They actually sent me two of everything for the new house. I don't know why.
Okay.
But they kept charging me for the old address. So I was paying two addresses. I went to Comrade 3 times. And Comrade, each time they contacted AIR, AIR sent them a letter saying that it was sorted, but it was never sorted. And the only way I got it sorted was a member of staff gave me the complaints number. And I rang the complaints number.
Are you serious?
The guy had it sorted in a couple of days.
Well, you know, that member of staff could be subjected to a disciplinary hearing for giving out the complaints number.
yeah, but she didn't. It was kind of hush-hush, all right. She didn't want me... She was actually, you know what I mean? She was cloak and dagger stuff giving me the number, you know?
What did you... I don't know what
the
exact...
The guy rang and sorted it. The guy rang was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. That's when sorted in a couple of days.
That's when you got this hidden phone number for the complaints.
Yeah. Yeah, she was whispering, telling me the number.
Are you serious?
No. Honest to God, yeah. Honest to God. No, so I have all the details. Yeah, I know, down, but she... Have with me, you know?
So she was whispering because she knew... That if she was heard giving out the correct number for customer complaints, she could be subject to a disciplinary hearing. That was in the manual.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that at the time, but... Yeah,
and not only was it in the manual, it was underlined and it was boxed in red. Yeah. If you give out the true number, the honest number, the verifiable number of customer complaints or the honest, true or verifiable address of the website... You will be subject to a disciplinary hearing. Did you ever hear the likes?
Yeah. Holy God.
Well, Joe, this morning I saw an advertisement for they're looking for staff in air, funny enough.
Trying to get a job in the complaints department,
they'll
do nothing.
Well, I have been asking them for the complaint. How do I complain? Like, oh, there must be a complaints department. And nobody would tell us, you know, no, we don't have a complaints department. We'll deal with it here. That's the way I was told. And like I said, then this one person did give me the number and... Everything was sorted within a couple of days. Your man was actually brilliant. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe he worked for Air. I don't think he did work for Air. I'd say he was subcontracted in.
Stay there. And Parik, would people have known you were fed up for 2 years?
Oh, sure. Like I say, I have it all wrote down because I knew from the first phone call wasn't going to be easy, you know. I knew from dealing with them before.
Yeah. So where's Patricia? Patricia, 0818715. Yeah, what happened to you, Patricia?
Well, I was trying to get rid of my landline because we don't use it.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
I rang Air to conclude the account. And I got, oh, we'll ring you back, this, that and the other. And after a number of months, I was getting letters from a debtors collection to say we'd be put in stubs if we didn't pay the bill, which we didn't owe them.
Yeah.
Because I had pulled the wire out of the wall, binned it and told the bank not to pay them another penny. So they were coming up after us. Now, we're two pensioners. They were coming after us for money we didn't owe them, and continuous. I don't care if they put me in stubs, to be honest with you. But they played this as a threat. And I never gave them a penny, and I don't know whether I was in stubs or not, and I don't care.
They threatened, Air threatened to put you in stubs, Gazette.
No, Air transferred my debt
to
Thomas a debt collector.
Yeah, oh my God.
And they threatened to put me in stubs, but I'm not that fragile.
Good woman. And were you surprised with these revelations today that the complaints...
I chuckled. I said to my husband, you won't believe it. The best comedy has just been through the courts and now Joe has.
Well, if you've dealt with Air, you wouldn't be surprised at that revelation. You know what I mean? If you've dealt with Air in the last 10 years, you wouldn't be surprised.
You're dead right. I mean, it's as silly as the post office scandal in the UK. You know, Air have been doing this to Irish paying customers for God knows how long.
Yeah,
and that the instruction manual tells them not to facilitate customers.
Oh, shocking, shocking, shocking. Patricia, Stan Matthews has a very pertinent question. Stan, good afternoon. Joe at RT.ie. Go ahead, Stan.
Hello, Joe. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. You want to ask a number of questions. You're right.
The question I have, Joe, that this memo went out to staff in Air.
The manual.
Now,
manual, yes.
Yeah, but somebody had to write that thing.
Very good
And
point.
The person who wrote it isn't really at fault. It's the fella in the suit who told him to write it.
Yeah.
No, that's what my problem is, the whole thing.
And why find them 7,500? Why not find them
three million,
you know what I mean? Something that will make them sit up and take action.
The district court will be quite limited now on the amount it can fine and the sanctions. You could ask the question, why wasn't it heard in the High Court where they would have got a whack? Have you had dealings with them, Stan? Do you have dealings with them?
Well, see, not much in the way of dealings, Joe. I was trying to change my phone from a business to a residential, and I was put onto a guy in the office, and it took forever, and we got it sorted in the end, okay. But it just took too long.
Yeah.
And the fella in the office, in the shop that I was talking to, he told me that. He said, look at the time, it's just coming up to 5 o'clock. That fella's clocking off at 5. So he kept you there until 5 o'clock and then you can go home. But if he got somebody else at, in at 5 to 5, he'd be stuck there. Could be stuck there to 6.
Okay, and they were dragging.
But it was resolved to my satisfaction at the end of it. So that was okay. But my main question was, who wrote the blooming menu?
Yeah. Who wrote it?
A memo. And to be treating your staff like that and threatening them with all sorts of stuff. Just behaving like a human being.
And where the Communications Workers Union, who are a very powerful union.
Yeah.
And they did extraordinarily well when Telecom Ireland was privatised, because they had shares and the staff had shares. They did extraordinarily well. And remember, all the dopes like us, we bought the Telecom Ireland shares and then realised unless you already had stocks and shares, you couldn't sell them. And then by the time you were able to sell them, they weren't worth the paper they were printed on. But anyway, Lucille Cleary, Lucille.
Hello, bye, Joe. Bye, Joe. I hope you can help me. You're my last hope, Joe.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was on before. I'm a Sky customer and I've had no service for 6-7 weeks.
Okay.
I was told 5 days in the beginning. So when I rang up, my connection is with Air.
Okay, with Air. Okay, stick to Air.
So
yeah.
The only person that called was Air. He called about 3 weeks ago. He just came into the house and he said he could go and do remotely to reconnect.
Okay.
Sky rang and told me my problem was solved, and it wasn't solved. And it's still going on. I've been on to Comreg, I've been on to Age Action, I've no phone, I have a medical alarm, I can't use my iPad.
So it is a problem with Air.
It's with Air, yeah.
And they said they'd come out and reconnect and they haven't.
They haven't. And then you see, since my husband died, my son and my daughter can come one day a week to work remotely. But now they can't come. So three times they rang my son and told my son that the problem was fixed. So when he came over, it wasn't fixed. And it's just, it's a nightmare. I was on for 2 hours on Monday and they asked me to go down on my belly and get a magnifying glass to read, take this out, take that out. Then my neighbour came in to try to talk to them. It's just been a nightmare. And I went over and I got the number of Air to talk to them directly and they wouldn't speak to me. And I've been on to Comreg and Comreg are getting no answers from either Sky or Air.
Okay. And where have you any broadband at the minute?
No, I've nothing. I have nothing. Absolutely nothing. I've no television in the kitchen. I can't use my iPad. I can't, but my kids can't come because they can't work.
Yeah, that's, anyway.
So absolutely nothing. And I was actually on again this morning and they keep saying they'll send somebody, definitely somebody will come, but nobody has come from Sky. Then they send a new box, you know,
a modem.
Yeah. And my son spoke to them and talked them through it. No, it wasn't the box. There was definitely the Air. There was a connection and I was.
And who had
I'm
you?
I'm on a ship.
But for you, Lucille, who had you on the floor?
Me. Me. But I had to go on the floor to but connect.
But who was instructing you to get on? Air person?
I was on Sky. I was on the phone and they said, take out this cable, put in the purple one.
Because they thought it was
there. Get a magnifying glass.
Okay.
Then they wanted me to go onto my phone and scroll down to some website. So my neighbour came in and we were an hour on and I said, I just can't do this anymore. And like, this is going to be 7 weeks now with no service.
And to be without Wi-Fi in the world we live in. And as you say, even which people wouldn't think about, that your two of your children used to come over to your house, which meant they also visit you, which I'm sure they were glad to do, but they could work remotely. But now that's gone and there's so many people working remotely.
And like what I asked was like, because my son had made the complaint, they ring him, he's on the south side. So they say the problem is fixed. He comes over, he can't work. So he's on his phone trying to get to talk, trying to work on his phone, but then he's on to Sky. So the next door neighbour just said, when he's there, he just let him use his Virgin just to be able to work. But then he just has to go home. It's just been a nightmare. Grandchildren come, they play on my phone or my iPad, okay, and they have no iPad, can't email, I can't. I'm really at the end of
my tether. Well, Lucille, you're in a significant community, and the revelation that AIR told their staff that if you give out the correct details about our complaints department,
I heard that
you could be sacked.
Yeah.
And unless people use certain words, throw the complaint in the bin.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd say now there'd be a long statement from the PR company this afternoon saying everything has changed. But it only changed, guys, because you were caught. And you were caught rapid. You were caught rapid. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Fiona, good afternoon. Yeah. Joe at RT.ie. What, you were former customers of AIR. What happened?
Yes. We initially had our broadband with AIR and decided to go with the package, a channels package, and spoke with somebody on the phone, and they told us a technician will be out to you next week.
Yeah.
The following week went on and on, and nobody ever turned up to put up on the channels first, the TV channels, but we started getting billed for them.
So they got the money.
So they did. So I did make a phone call on a Saturday afternoon and spoke with somebody on the phone who had absolutely no interest in talking to me. I think I disturbed his lunch and he just couldn't give a fiddler's. So I hung up and we ignored all correspondence and we cancelled our direct debit. Okay. And we heard nothing from AIR for about 6 or 7 months.
Okay.
And then we got a final bill for nearly €400.
Okay.
So I said, I'll use that to start the fire now. So I did, and it went straight into the fire, into the bin. And then now it's been escalated on to Stubbs Gazette. So we've gotten...
Oh, my God.
We initially got an email, and then we started to get letters.
From Stubbs?
From Stubbs, yeah. From Stubbs, every week. And then we ignored them. And then we got, we'll get rid of this debt at a 50% reduction. We were reducing your debt by this and by that. And we rang our solicitor just to see, you know, what should we do? And he said, we're one of many, just to ignore them. And that's what we've done. That's where we are at the minute. Just ignoring everything from Stubbs, not engaging with them at all. So I don't know. Maybe they will take us to the small claims court.
Stubbs, and they've been around such a long time, and the name they've managed, because they're around, the name does frighten people. As a debtor. But the other thing you'd be worried about, if you ever tried to get credit, your name might be on a list. You sent them a registered letter, fair play.
Yes. I Googled their head office someplace in Dublin. I don't know. And I have that, but that, of course, never went unanswered. Emails went unanswered. You get so sick of being on hold.
Yeah.
I was on hold for 53 minutes once, just trying to get through to somebody. I just hung up. So, I mean, it's very frustrating, I suppose, as a customer. I don't have the time every day to be calling them and chasing them. But that's where we are at the moment.
And are you surprised to hear, as was outlined, and they pleaded guilty today, in their manual for staff who are answering your calls, it says in one section, boxed off in red and underlined in bold, staff were told that under no circumstances are the complaints number or complaints webpage address to be provided to any customer. And the manual goes on to warn that any staff member found to be doing this will be subject to a disciplinary under the section call avoidance.
I think it's horrendous. I've never heard the likes
now
of it
have
before.
Now, we have a statement in from AIR. This just gets better, this just... Is Oliver Callan writing these scripts? The training material we acknowledge, this is from AIR, the training material we acknowledge could have been better worded. How do you better word, under no circumstances at a complaints number or complaints webpage address to be provided to any customer, any agent found to be doing this will be subject to a disciplinary hearing. How could that be better worded?
Well, it's a deliberate instruction to staff to avoid engaging with customers.
Who wrote it?
I'd love to know. Well, the CEO needs to be accountable.
I think there's a different CEO, you know? And that they change a lot. Okay, Fiona, good to meet you. But are you right to ignore Stubbs Gazette? That's the only thing. You are going to ignore them.
Well, my other half is the same as me, and there isn't a hope. We won't engage with them. We won't.
Okay. No. And have you had any similar difficulties with other utilities?
Never.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying every utility.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what I said at the outset, Fiona. It was 2.5 years ago. We got a magazine in here called Public Sector Times. Nobody knew where it came from. It is a legitimate magazine, but it's not produced by the public sector at any stretch. And they had a big full page ad and a From Air congratulating themselves for winning the Public Sector Excellence Customer Service Award. And then we discovered. We discovered they nominated themselves, and that we couldn't find out who the judges were. And the main thing is that you had to buy an ad in this public. Anyway, it goes on and on and on.
Comical. Okay, Joe.
Okay, comical, Eric. Sean O'Brien in Castlebar. Sean.
How are you doing, Joe?
What's your story?
Well, this goes back to 2018, and we had a shop in Castlebar and a shop in Galway. We closed the Galway one, but at the same time, we were changing over from magnet broadband to air in the shop.
Yeah.
So that would have been the only means for customers are in the Galway area to get in touch with us. So 2.5 months later, this was in the lead up to Christmas, just at the start of December, I was livid, and I remember saying the magic words in one conversation that I was going to get onto Comreg and see what could happen. And lo and behold, I'm put in touch with the complaints department. And the guy in complaints read out our file to me. And basically what they had done was, when we were changing suppliers, they port you over to a different number. So he said the number that they were porting us from, they'd left out the last digit. The number they were porting us to, they'd left out the last digit. And they'd transposed the two names. So they had our company name down as Magnet, and they had our supplier down as us. So they were trying to port a non-existent number to a non-existent number for a non-existent company.
Okay.
And they had been doing this for 2.5 months.
So were you surprised?
Until this guy got in touch.
Were you surprised when you heard through the court case today that they, which they pleaded guilty? The Comrade could have told us this months ago, by the way, because they obviously knew it. It was this manual, the training manual, a staff manual. It wasn't a training, it was a manual. If you did give out the correct number for their complaints department or the correct web address, you could be sacked. You could be subject to a discipline. You will be subject to a disciplinary hearing.
That explains why I went through 2.5 months of chaos trying to get to the bottom of it. And I mean, we were a small business, and we wanted our business from Galway to follow us to Castlebar, and all ties were broken. We had no phone lines in the 3 months leading up to Christmas. So, yeah, I'm not surprised at this, and it goes along with many of the other problems you would have had with air, where you're trying to get to the bottom of something and it just never happens. And I mention Connor Pope or I mention Comreg now in any conversation, just to try and get things done.
When you mentioned about the digits, the missed digits, do you think that was deliberate?
I don't know, but it's a bit unusual now that they would, you know, there's a certain format to a phone number, and to be missing one digit off each of them, it's fairly obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, the thing that would get me is that it's actually them gaining business if they'd have got their ass in gear and done it. But dealing with them over the years and many, many reasons to complain with them, now I know why nothing was ever gotten to the bottom of.
Yeah. They were willing to give 20 grand.
It's ludicrous that they can get away with offering that 20 grand. There should be some means by which they can impose more than the statutory limit from a district court. Like, I mean, that's just mental.
Yeah. Okay, Sean, good to meet you, Margaret. That's Sean O'Brien in Castlebar. Seamus.
Hello?
Yeah, what's your relationship with her?
Well,
In October, about 3 years ago, I cancelled my landline. Now, I had my landline going back since I built a house in 84.
Right.
So that's how long I had the landline. But I cancelled it. November got a bill. I paid that. I said, that'll be the end of it now. And December got a bill. I got a double bill in January. But I rang them each time, and after half an hour got through, and nobody come back, and nobody came back. Never had. In January, I got tired of it, and I said, listen, I'll ring him again now. So I rang and got nowhere.
Okay.
But I rang again a week later. I said, I won't let it go. I rang again a week later, and I did get a girl, a nice girl. And she admitted that it was up on her computer. Oh, yes, she said, I see it here. She said, you cancelled in October. I said, lovely. Can you tell him that, I said, and stop sending me out bills?
Yeah.
And she said, no. Then she said, hold on, your contract. You might have tied with a contract. I said, I have no contract. I said, I'm with you since 1984, before you were even there. I said, I never signed a contract with you. So she changed her mind and said, oh, yeah, okay. Never heard a thing until the following month got a bill again. And I'm still getting bills 3 years later. Every month I get a bill, the same amount, no threatening letter, no nothing, but just the bill is sent out every month.
Even though you've cancelled it 3 years ago.
Yeah, I cancelled it in October, end of October, so that's November, yeah. They're still sending me a bill every month.
Wow.
And they send me a text before I get the bill to tell me my bill was due. Could you credit that?
So you're not surprised to hear about the carry-on today that they were told?
No, not a bit. They're very bad. Okay.
So I just wonder why Comrade didn't spot this. Okay, Seamus, good to hear from you. Go up to Castle Baldwin. Des.
Joe, how are you?
Good, how are you? We have people very... Who was it told me earlier on? He's been fed up for 2 years. Who was
not
that?
Not 7 years.
You're fed
We've
up
been
for...
We've waiting 7 years for this day. Because we tried to move house.
Yeah.
And we had our house sold, and we wanted to just pay our final account here on a landmine. And they said that'd be fine, provided we give them the landline in the new house and the broadband. And I said, well, that sounds reasonable to us, and we were quite happy to do that.
Okay.
And I said, but we need the two of them. And then they said, they asked us for a new address, and it's in Castle Baldwin, which is the village outside Sligo. It's at the end of the new motorway. And they said, oh, no, we can't give you the broadband. Well, I said, well, then there's nothing we can do.
We
don't really need a landline. And then they said, well, no, we won't terminate the landline. And I said, well, we're not going to be at that landline anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So that was grand. They still fought us and said no, and they kept sending us bills. So it was holding up the sale of our house, because you can't have outstanding bills on your house when you're selling it. Right?
Yeah.
So we went to the solicitor.
That's true, yeah.
We had a personal call in July and August 2017. Two emails in July and September 2017, three personal calls in September, two solicitors' letters to our appointed solicitor as the power of attorney, a call to Ayr office in Sligo in December, two further solicitors' letters. And then eventually we wrote to them and we just said, can you not get it through your thick and thin brain that we have sold our house and have moved away from the state? Do not reside where the telephone line is.
Yes, exactly.
Pay
our
final bill, and will I repeat, by paying any more, and we will not pay any more. And if you pursue this matter any more, we will sue you in the High Court for impinging our credit worthiness and sue you for libel, defamation and slander. And eventually, that's what they respond.
Your wife stopped you ringing him because your blood pressure, you were...
Yeah. And then she took over the phone and her blood pressure went higher than mine.
Okay. All right. Okay, 7 years. Seven long years. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe at RT.ie. We're definitely, the whole programme, it looks like, is going to be full once again. And I do admit at one stage we had a file because we could have done air every day. David Gordon, this is the revelation today in court, and Air admitting that they had a training manual which basically encouraged their staff to tell lies. to people who make complaints. Joe. David, your issue, please.
Oh, yeah, Joe. Yeah, I'm just making the point that this 20,000 offer is meaningless when you look at the type of contracts that have introduced with our customers. You now sign up for a year's contract, you agree a price, and they tell you in the contract it's going to go up by the rate of inflation plus 3% during the contract. So, so your price isn't an agreed price.
Spotted. Well and, spotted. The rate of inflation plus 3%.
So what I have with Air at the moment, my bill has gone up about €9 a month. Now, that's not for a full year. It's through the contract.
Okay.
But even if the average person went up a fiver and they have a 1.5 million or 2 million customers, so that's about 3 or 4 million a year extra. So this 20,000 just is a drop in the ocean to them. It doesn't make any difference at all. And in the UK, they're trying to ban these contracts.
Well, Comreg are funded by the telecom company, so there's a little bit of a conflict there. But I'm sure Comreg is the state body. It is appointed by the state.
But that's why I think that all consumer rights should be under one organisation, not these Comreg or anybody else, utilities or anything. If you had a separate organisation who looked after the customer and not looked after the utility, we might be better off.
Okay. David, good to meet you. That's David Gordon. Mary McCabe. Thanks, David. Joe at RT.ie. Mary McCabe.
Hello, Joe. Good afternoon.
What happened
to me, Joe, last year from September until December? I am a customer with Air or TV or for internet and phone. And they knocked me. I was on to Air to change my package to get a better deal.
Okay, yeah.
Subsequently, I agreed to a better deal. And suddenly, I had no internet, I had no phone, and because our TV is operated off the internet, no TV. And that went on from September until December. Oh, every morning, I got up every morning, 8:30, start dialing that number, and it would ring and ring. I have a file so thick from ringing and all promises. However, I just want to let you know, Joe, how I got put back on in December.
Okay, tell us.
I have wore out my phone or my mobile trying to call Air. One day I was coming into my house and I realised there's a control box down the street from me, down the road, and there was an Air van at the control box.
Okay.
So I went down to the guy in the van and I explained my situation to him. And he was appalled. And then he said, give me your phone number, give me your account number. I did all of that. He made a very quick phone call. And then he went out to the control box. He pointed and he showed me where my telephone line would be, the little wire. And he said, I think we have a problem at the exchange. Closed up the control box. He made another phone call and he asked where my house was. I pointed to it. And he said, I'll see you in about 10 minutes. He came to my house in about 10 minutes after that. I had the phone, I had TV, I had internet. And I got it fixed just like that from September until December.
By walking down to a very helpful individual.
But if I told you how I had been shunted around with Air, finally, when I did get back onto their accounts department, because they're busy sending me a bill that... for a service I don't have, and I explained it all, they finally managed to give me a paltry €72 credit.
Okay.
But at least that was how...
But Mary, you rang, you got up and you rang every morning at 8:30.
Every single morning. I was demented, Joe.
I was going to say that.
Every morning. I used to put the phone on loudspeaker and have my breakfast. And then... maybe clean my kitchen and eventually somebody might
By the time you got through, I say you could repaint the front of the house and do the gutters.
You sure did. I could and have replace the windows. Well, if you'd be cut it then. Done everything. I had scrubbed my kitchen floor and it was still ringing out. Imagine. Where I live, there's an exchange down in Dundrum. I went down there one afternoon and I was knocking on the door, but I I think they were all dead in there anyway. Nobody was answering me. But if I could just, I can understand everybody's frustration on the radio.
He's there about 18 months in Oliver Looms. He was formerly with Guinness in charge, with Diageo in charge of Guinness. And he was on with Áine Carr, the business. Great programme. 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. And Áine asked him about customer service issues.
Yeah.
Here he
and
is.
I just saw huge opportunity to take air and to transform it. And
in recognising opportunity for transformation, were you also recognising the legacy issues around customer service in particular? You'll be familiar with the headlines year on year around people spending sometimes hours with customer service, the complaints log with Comreg. So when you took the job on, was it in the full knowledge I have a big task ahead?
No, definitely. I think that's true. You know, I mean, I wouldn't deny that in Ayr's past, it's pretty storied and not always positive. And Ayr, you know, definitely needed to transform. It was bought by new owners 4 or 5 years ago, Xavier Niel and NJJ. And, you know, I could see that they were determined to transform Ayr. They were putting in very significant investment in the last 4 or 5 years. They've invested more than 1 billion into transforming Ayr. You know, again, when they came in, they could see that care needed transformation. You know, it's now managed by more than 500 Ayr employees in 4 care centres around Ireland, Cork, Limerick, Sligo and Waterford. And, you know, it's much stronger now than it used to be. So I could kind of see that transformation, that investment.
And transformation and investment is no doubt happening. But you still look at headlines as recently as last month in the Irish Times, where you have Ayr and one other company, the companies named most frequently by people who made contact with Ireland's consumer watchdog in 2023. You look at other headlines like a £2.45 million penalty following investigation into overcharging. Some of these might be legacy, but the headlines still exist.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, and I, you know, again, I'd have to say, historically, Ayr did not always get it right.
And, well, a lot of the stories we're hearing today, Oliver, are not history. They are not history. A lot of them happened in the recent passes. Helen Dawn. Helen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
What happened?
Oh, I had my phone in my house for 29 and a half years. And I was a Vodafone customer for all those years. And there was a problem. The phone was ringing, but it was ringing somewhere else. It wasn't ringing in my home. Mm-hmm. And I had a set of those 3 phones that you can move from room to room, which was fabulous. It had been working perfectly. And I got in touch with Vodafone to say, right, my phone was out. They contacted Ayr. And an engineer came out and he diverted the line from my hall to an upstairs bedroom, which is 13 steps up the stairs and crippled with arthritis. And when he was finished, he said, the landline has gone in the hall. I said, what do you mean the landline has gone in the hall? I said, you know, it's been there for 29 and a half years. Yes, it's gone in the hall. And I said, I don't believe this. I said, I had an extension in the kitchen. I said, these have worked perfectly. Mm. Vodafone were telling me, the phones were no good. They were only 3 months old. They were perfect. There was this went on, and I had 10, I'd say, easily, between Ayr and a different name on the side of the van. I can't remember it just offhand now. Came out, wanted to tell me the copper wiring wasn't conducive for fibre. And then if anyone had told me that, I would have said, well, don't bother with fibre. I don't, you know, keep it. I don't need it. Because I needed my phones on ground level. And this went on, and as I said, the last fellow that came, I said, God, I said, it was a pity I didn't think of it. I said, I could have accommodated the whole 10 of you, and you could have stayed with me, because I said, you've been coming and going for so long. Sometimes you'd get a phone call from Vodafone to say, right, okay, an engineer will be here today, 9:30. Sit up, waiting, looking, waiting for the person. No sign. You might get a call the next day and say, oh, he was very busy, couldn't make it. Come the next day. But that was it. My landline was taken out of my home.
But it was AIR, who would have been doing the work on your phone lines.
They're the ones that have to do the work. Put it in an upstairs bedroom, right, okay. Then the lad came out to do the fibre and he had to put it upstairs. And every time they ring, he says, pull in this, put out that, put in the other.
And you see, and the other, I know, and Helen, I take your point, and it's very strongly made, and you're just another example. But like, as a number of issues have come up already, one is who wrote this manual, that and when was it discovered, and why didn't, for example, why didn't the MD on Saturday reveal, oh, by the way, we have a series, why didn't he fess up and say these are issues which we're dealing with? And for example, we discovered there was a manual telling staff to tell lies, basically, and if they didn't tell lies, they could be disciplined. Unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable. But there's other elements of it as well. I'm reading there during the break Vivian Traynor's piece on the RT News website, and I tweeted it as well, because it goes into other issues, like a family who were left without their phone, okay, and frustrated with their dealings with Aircom and AIR, like as they are now, like so many. They had a medical emergency in the house and they couldn't dial 999. So they had to jump in the car and drive to A&E. They were unable to take delivery of a CPAP machine, which we spoke about a few weeks ago, which assists with breathing, because the delivery person could not contact her because the phone line was gone. So just we depend so much today on everything to do with our phone lines. Okay, Helen, thanks, Neil. I'll be back with more.
It ended up that I had to get rid of my Vodafone landline. So now I've no landline whatsoever. Now I just have a mobile.
Okay. Thanks, Helen. That's Helen Dunn. Kieran's there after the break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT Daddy, you heard the CEO of AIR, Oliver Loom, saying that all these problems are historic. David Bergen. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. They're not historic. Since the snow at the beginning of March, my landline has virtually been out of order for the best part of 2 months.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how many times I've been on to AIR ringing 1901. I was very well treated and I got through fairly quickly. Okay. I must say the customer service did seem to be nice and genuinely helpful. But when it was... They did need a technician to come out. I know on the phone they ask you to pull out all these wires and put them back in, and they could confirm, there was a fault on the line. Eventually, after about 10, 15 days, they had to send a technician out. The technician came out saying, very nice. Mm-hmm. He got the phone going. Within 24 hours, it was gone again. So another man was to come out one day.
Okay.
They told me somebody would call and that they would ring me about a half an hour to an hour in advance. Nobody rang. So it was the next day, somebody else was to come that didn't have... Oh, they told me that I wasn't there when he called. Now, there was no card in the door, and I believe he may have gone to the wrong address. But the lady in AIR says they would have had the proper AIR code, but I don't know. And funny enough, the very following day, it was a Saturday morning, two AIR technicians arrived up at my door. One was checking the phone. Both of them were checking the phone. They found there was a serious fault. And the fault was located. Well, one of the lads very kindly went off to the exchange and got it going again. Now, in the meantime, they have changed me over from the copper wire to the to the glass fibre. It is better. But the whole thing is AIR would have been... You see, it seems to be revenue before service. That is the problem. And our state has handed over the national grid of the telephone and computer lines to AIR. But they don't appear to be able to give the service that you did got. You remember the old P&T years ago? They had the orange and white vans. You would see them everywhere around Dublin and around the country.
Yeah, but we've moved on dramatically. But remember, the Irish government sold off Telecom AIR to the highest
bid. But you say, a great loss. I was one of those. I lost a bit of money. It was
the tax. It was the likes of you that lost your money and whatever.
It wasn't very much, Joe.
There was a lot to a lot of people, even though it might have been a small amount. A lot of people were. You remember the ads? Actually, they remind me of the New Air ads. Remember the ads we had for people walking across a mountain down in near the Cliffs of Moher, and they're all going to buy the shares. Well, the New Air ad is like that as well.
Yes.
By the way, you say you have a pain in the head. Many times did you ring them, David?
Oh, God, I'd say, I'm sure it was 10, 15 times.
Okay.
10, 15 times. Now, the customer service was very good, and they were very helpful. I don't know how many times I went to the fittings, pulled out wires, pulled out the... and putting out the computer, you know, for the console of the broadband. Now, to say one thing, their broadband is excellent.
Yeah, that's good. The quality of
Air's broadband, I can only say, absolutely excellent.
Yeah, but remember, no matter what country you go to now, the broadband is very good. I was talking to somebody just back from Colombia. It was supposed to be, it is a fantastic country. And they said you can't get hot water in a lot of places, but you can get great Wi-Fi.
That's
the world we live in. Okay, good evening. I've got David Berg and John. John, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
What happened?
I'm just up to my eyes now. I'm not out for any more. I'm 83.
Yeah.
I'm had cancer twice. I'm not moaning. Okay. I'd heart problems and everything.
Uh-huh.
I listened to the Late Late Show Friday night, went to bed, got up the next morning, had to go into town to do a little learning, come back. To turn on the television, I've now television, the whole lot's cut off, phone and all.
Why?
And the thing is, I moved, and I used to pay by direct debit. I ceased to pay all that direct debit anywhere. I asked them to send out paper bills. I never received paper bills. All of a sudden, I got paper bills with fines.
Okay.
I told them I wasn't paying the fines. But eventually, I had to pay the fines. I thought it was a felt. Guilty underhand thing to do.
And what would John
charge a person fine for something he didn't receive?
Okay.
So now I see all this. What it has caused me, Joe, is this. I'm very sick. I'm still sick. It caused me so much stress. I couldn't sleep Saturday night.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's what caused me. And I'm sick.
And why was your television? Why were you totally disconnected on Saturday afternoon? Your TV, your Wi-Fi?
I don't know. I'm trying to get through. I don't know. I told them I was cut off Saturday afternoon, and my bill is paid from the 4th of this
and
month.
And why were you getting these fines? Were you?
It seems that they were supposed to send me out paper bills. And I wasn't receiving any.
But you wanted paper bills.
I wanted paper bills. I stopped it, direct debit. Everywhere, anywhere I go, it's by cash. I believe in helping to keep girls in jobs and lads in jobs. But I got no paper bills, and then I got this bill fining me. I asked them what was happening, and one of the girls in the shop said, "Oh, you got fined." I said, it only takes a month or something for me. So what's all this?
Well, to Air, just to come back to John, do Air want you to do a direct debit instead of paying cash?
I used to, but I'm not doing it anymore anywhere.
Okay.
But this fine was for not paying on time. But sure, I didn't get paper bills.
Yeah. Okay.
To pay it to note for you.
But you your point was, I want a paper bill.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's fine.
And I didn't get it, so they fined me, so I agreed and I paid for it. But now with all this stuff going on, when I come in Saturday, my internet and all was cut off. And I'm thinking, are they going to fine me for this internet and all to get it back on and everything?
Okay.
I phoned the girl this morning. She's very helpful.
Yeah,
she's trying to get it on as soon as possible. And the girls in the shop I go to are excellent. They're wonderful people.
But the thing is, Joe,
the stress is causing me and other people.
I can hear it.
I'm very sorry, Joe.
They should be sorry. Now, those young people in the shop sound brilliant, by the way, in the Air shop.
Oh, they are.
If you can get back down to them, or even you probably won't be able to ring them, to try and hopefully they'll hear you. Someone hears you now.
I'm going over to do a couple of groceries, and I'll just pop in and I will not. I don't even want paper bills now.
Yeah. Okay.
The guy explained
now what you
to me
want.
No,
John. What you want now? You want your television and your Wi-Fi back.
You want them back on today. I want them back as soon as possible. Like, look, Joe, I live on my own.
I knew you were going to say that.
My nephews brought me down to the kiln with a lovely day yesterday with my nephews, and they're very intelligent and all that stuff. And what I suggested is, I said, I think some of these people are trying to do all this. And I was right.
Yeah.
By God, I was right. Any shop, 10 to 9, I was always courteous. That's your job to people.
Yeah.
But it's disgraceful to phone a to charge a pair, fine a person, like as if they were children, in an underhanded way of doing things, horrible way of doing things.
I think Oliver Looms, who's the CEO of AIR, I think he also said in that interview on Saturday in the business that the number of complaints that AIR were getting was going down dramatically. Okay, John, keep in touch, will you, please. Okay, that's John, back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
AIR. Oliver. I need to come up for AIR. Oliver.
Hello? You there?
Yes, what happened?
I have a couple of direct debits which are paid off my Visa card. But somebody took my card in February and they were using it. So I rang the bank and they told me to destroy it.
Yeah.
And there was no problem with the other people. But when I got my bill there in March for that period, they were charging me for €18.54 for non-payment. So I rang them and I told them, look, there was no problem with the other people. And how come there's a problem with you? And the problem was that they were taking my direct debit from my 16 digits on the card rather than from my IBAN and my BIC.
Okay.
But
could you get through to them? Could you sort it out?
No, Joe, listen, you might as well whistle Dixie. I'm in a contract with them, expires the 23rd of August, and I tell you, I'm gone on midnight. I'm never going near them again.
Okay, Kieran, I wanted to get as many people. Your point. Nightmare on Air Street. Go ahead, Kieran, what happens?
How are you, Joe? Well, I cancelled. I changed providers, as you do, and I rang them, and I cancelled within greater than the 30 days, gave them enough notice. They didn't stop charging me. The only way I could stop them charging me was to cancel my direct debits. They sent me bills for months and months and months afterwards, claiming I owed them this money. After losing hours and days of my life trying to get through and eventually getting through and talking to the lovely people, one girl eventually just figured out that, yes, I did cancel on time. I didn't owe them any money. And she put a note on my file. Eventually, they sold my debt to Stubbs Gazette, which basically threatened my credit rating.
Which they don't seem to be doing a lot. Yeah. What's that about?
And there was no way out of that, Joe. And it was less than €100, but my credit rating could be snookered because of it.
It's an awful
money that they admitted they didn't. I didn't owe them.
Yeah. Okay.
Crazy, Joe. And I don't. I'm delighted to hear you talking about this because I was livid at the time and I just had to pay it. I just had to pay it and move on.
Okay.
But how many other people in the country have to pay money that they don't owe?
Yeah, and I have to move on. Good to meet him all. Good, Kira on Harry Bookless on Sound, broadcast coordinator Shane Gabb, producer Sean O'Gorman. And Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours, in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.